Hi everyone, this is Dave Denton. Thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. Before we get into today's show, we at Turnbuckle Trash want to send our condolences to the families and friends of Ashley Morasso and Lucha Libre star Silver King, who both passed away since our last podcast. Ashley had a short career in the WWE, winning the 2005 Diva Search. She's also working in radio at the time of her death at the age of 39. Cesar Barón, known in wrestling world as Lucha star Silver King, died in the ring in London where he had a massive stroke during a match. Silver King was a huge star in the Lucha world and also wrestled for 3 years in WCW from 97 to 2000. He also wrestled in Japan also. And now, for Cesar and Ashley, here are the 10 bells. On today's Turnbuckle Trash, Zane and I interviewed the new champion of Devotion Championship Wrestling. Ajay Salveson joins us with a comment on fans in the WWE. And we'll have Chris on the mat with Money in the Bank and Chuck E. Cheese. Then Zane is back with WWE Devotion and title belts. And it's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
And welcome back to another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. On the phone with me right now, my co-host, the man with the plan, we call him Zane O'Mac. How you doing, Mr. Zane?
What's up, Dr. D?
Doctor is doing fine today. And then we have the champ on the phone with us right now. It's Marlon Bishop, the champion of Devotion Championship Wrestling. He picked up that belt against Sifa Fatu at Devotion's May the 4th. Be with you, Marlon. And champ, thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash.
Thank you guys for having me, man. It's definitely a privilege and an honor. Thank you so much.
Well, Marlon, I wanted to ask you a quick question because I like to get what your athletic background is. Is it right that you went to Saginaw University in Michigan? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I went to Saginaw Valley.
And played a little football there, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, went up and played a little bit of football. It was an opportunity of a lifetime, honestly, just to get the call from, at the time, Coach Jerry Keel, to have me come up and be a part of their program was just a godsend, honestly, because I was in Detroit, and a kid from Detroit, there's not too many opportunities, and I was grateful to even not be a statistic, so I was grateful for that opportunity.
Marlon, I actually just want to compliment you on the athleticism that you've achieved to even make it to, you know, a collegiate level and then into a professional level in football and now on to professional wrestling. What a feat that is. Tell me did you ever think playing football and stuff like that, hey, one day I'm going to be a professional wrestler?
No, that actually wasn't one of my thoughts, but I've always been a fan. I've been a fan of pro wrestling since I was eight years old. I used to watch wrestling with my grandfather, and it was something that he enjoyed, and I developed a love for it also as a fan first.
Wow.
So Marlon, when you're talking about watching professional wrestling with your grandfather, was it a local promotion? Was it WWE or WWF at the time? Or was it AWA? Because that's where Detroit was in the AWA region. What type of wrestling were you watching?
Definitely, it was. I got a chance to watch both AWA as well as the WWF at the time would come on in Detroit, and I got a chance to see an abundance of stars, man, and just grew to just love the sport of wrestling. So it just grew from that point on. But I did definitely get a chance to watch both of those great promotions.
So Marlon, tell us how did you decide to go into professional wrestling? Where have you done some of your training, and how does one say, hey, I'm going to be a pro wrestler today?
I actually had a few of my, well, one of my teammates that you may know of, his name is Quinn Ojinaka, who I played with on the Falcons. When he was starting to wrestle, he was in Atlanta, and he had asked me to come to a few of his shows, and me just being a wrestling fan, I was like, man, this is awesome. And we hadn't, I think he had just stopped playing. I had stopped playing for maybe like a year or two. And he was showing interest in it. So just to support a friend of mine, I went down and watched the shows at WWA4, where he was just excelling greatly. And I was just like, man, this is an awesome show. And he asked me, he was like, hey, why don't you train? I was like, man, I can't train to be no wrestler. Are you serious? And he's just like, no, man, I mean, it's not the same wear and tear on your body. It is a very physical sport, just like football is also. But just learning to respond differently. The reaction time is similar because it is a bang-bang type of sport. But being able to respond quickly, learn quickly, and not only give moves, but learn how to work with guys was just something that I just couldn't get away from. I was just like, man, this is something that I would definitely enjoy. I didn't start training with him at the time, but I did show him my support as a friend and a former teammate.
Well, Marlon, I was going to ask you, when you said the similarities or the differences between football and pro wrestling, what was that first time you got into the ring and they told you to run the ropes? I've talked to so many people say that is just an experience that a lot of people just don't realize how difficult that is.
Absolutely. My first time in the ring was at Rocky Mountain Pro with Mercury Matt Yaden. I had moved to Colorado and was just interested and was like, man, you know what? Why not? So I went to his school when he was having a training session, and I came twice. The first time I came, I just watched because I just wanted to see just how physical it actually was, because I remember the training that Quinn had done. And the second day I came, I got a chance to speak to Matt, and he was like, well, hey, man, we'll give you a tryout, and you will see what you do. So we went through a series of drills, and when we got to the ropes, I was just like, okay, do I just run and kind of just bounce off of him? He was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, what? So he demonstrated a few times, and there is an art to running the ropes. You don't just get in and just start running because they are ropes. And if you run into them, it's like running into a person almost, except it's very thin and it's three of them. So running them was just like, okay, so first, are they going to give a little bit? What exactly are they going to like do? So I ran and turned and did everything that Matt had taught me to do, bounced off the ropes, and I was like, whoa, like that initial like bounce back. I was like, oh, and I was in the middle of the ring. He's like, all right, now you got to run and turn. And I'm running and I'm like, oh my God. And like, so I turned, hit my side on the ropes. And I'm like, okay, let me actually get my feet under me just to try to get the balance that's involved, the force that is initiated when you do hit those ropes, and the recoil of those ropes. You have to use the momentum of that to gather yourself and also continue to like run. So it was definitely a experience.
So Marlon, I got so many compliments for you. When you came out of the entrance there at DCW, me and Dave, and I have my little 6-year-old boy with me, and I know my jaw hit the ground. Dave's jaw. Dave looked at me and said, "Who is this guy?"
Wow.
Dude, how in the world do you stay in such good shape? I mean, you are an absolute monster.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's definitely a lot of work. It's not there are no days off, but thankfully I get a joy from working out. There is the rush that you get in the weight room. I don't just lift like I'm just training for a certain look. I like lift and push myself. And it was something that I've always enjoyed. I've enjoyed the adrenaline rush that you get, like when you gain the accomplishment of just moving a heavy amount of weight. And it was a thrill to me. It was also therapy to me. So it's just something that I've learned in my upbringing and I've never gotten away from.
Well, Marlon, I was going to ask you real quickly. I one of the first things I realized when you were in the ring with Sifu Fatu, that you knew how to work the crowd. How long have you worked on getting that connection with the crowd, whether it's heel heat or face heat? That's got to be something that's almost inbred, but you got to learn a little bit too, right?
I would agree. It is something that you definitely have to learn. But to be honest, behind the curtain, I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to react? But like when the music hits and you go through that curtain, man, something happens to you. I'm telling you, something happens to you. And it's almost like it's definitely me, but I get to play a part. I've like, there are some things that I've witnessed that I really don't want to share, but just the reaction that I've like gotten from like being able to like witness some things, to attempt to duplicate those things in a safe environment, just verbally, as was just amazing to me. And it actually came very, very easy just to interact with the crowd, because the crowd gives you their energy, whether they're cheering for you or whether they're booing for you. You still get that energy from them, and it's an awesome, awesome feeling.
So one thing I wanted to, I've always been kind of, Dave knows this about me. I've always been kind of infatuated, I guess you'd say, or I always have loved, you know, the behind the scenes of professional wrestling. And that's one thing we've always tried to focus on our podcast. And we've talked to a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are like just focused on what's going on today, who's the champion. But I love the production, the behind the scenes stuff. So one question I have for you is, what is it like behind the scenes? You know, when that behind that curtain, I mean, is everybody, I mean, I would imagine you guys are just on jitters.
I would agree in a way. I mean, if you're not nervous, then you don't care. So there's like an aspect of the sport of wrestling where you want to go out and you want to do great. Everybody does. If so, of course, in that like sense, you're going to be a little nervous because you don't want to go out and fail, and you don't want people to just boo you if you're a face, but you definitely want them to boo you if you're a heel. So it's because you care, you're going to be a little nervous, and that's something that's just kind of natural.
Well, Marlon, you said something a few minutes ago that I thought was kind of interesting. You talked about feeding off the energy of that crowd. Have you done any other type of athletic performance besides football, or any other performances that, you know, doing what I do in radio every day, I understand that little bit of a buzz you get from when you get a really good performance. And I'm just wondering, is that something that's ingrained in you, or have you done other things outside of football and professional wrestling that has helped you?
Other things, like maybe some public speaking, but only to like maybe youth football groups. It's not like the same type of reaction that you would get from like a wrestling crowd, a pro wrestling crowd, but being able to just share some knowledge with some guys who are pretty much like sponges and are just eager to just learn is a thrilling aspect also. Just to like share and just show someone like, hey, these are some things that helped me be successful, and I hope that they can help you too. For them to respond in a positive manner is also a very thrilling and grateful for me experience.
So Marlon, who everybody's got the person that they either love to or I know Manny Lemons, he always says that Big is one of his favorite people to work with in the ring. Who would you say somebody that you really enjoy to work with in the ring is?
I actually really enjoy Tifa because he's strong, he's very athletic, and he's very intelligent. Being in the family that he was raised in, obviously he gets some of that just genetically, but he is a very, very gifted athlete, and I sincerely enjoyed working with him. He was a joy to work with, and I really look forward to another meeting with him. He and some others, Zach Anaya, who is also a wrestler, he's in Rocky Mountain Pro, and he has like taught me some things. Austin Reddick, just to name a few. I mean, those are the guys who I really like enjoy working with, and you can like feed off their energy because they love the sport of wrestling, and it's infectious when you get around them because once you get in the ring with them, it is just on such a high level. You can't help but like feel that and like feed off of that and learn from those guys. So they've been great.
Well, I know, Marlon, you're going to be in Salt Lake City again in June defending your title against the aforementioned Big Vig. And I noticed after the show you two were almost at the same table, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And then, Marlon, you're also available on some of our nationwide platforms on Twitch TV with Rocky Mountain Pro, and I'm really excited to see you on there. I just think that the state of the independent wrestling scene right now is one of the best in the country, and you guys at Rocky Mountain Pro and Devotion are part of it, and I really appreciate it. I just wanted to give you just the props right there.
I greatly appreciate that, but I have to thank Matt Gayton just for giving me the opportunity, and also Manny Lemons and Big Vig just for looking at me and saying, hey, you know, this guy has something we can, you know, that he can bring to the table. Hopefully he can help us. And I was definitely grateful for every opportunity that I get, but I'm grateful for those men especially just for seeing something in me.
That's really neat. So Marlon, being in the independence,
that's also kind of one thing that we also love to talk about here.
What are your feelings on the current state of the independence? I mean, there's so many ways to watch things. I mean, on YouTube, on streaming services. Do you find yourself catching some of these smaller promotions and enjoying them?
Absolutely. Every promotion is different. And from just being an athlete who like wants to study not only your competition, but everything else that everyone else is doing, you get a chance to see and learn from everyone because everybody's different. No one really has the same like product, so being able to like see different wrestling promotions on YouTube or on Twitch or Right Now TV where Rocky Mountain Pro is, you get a chance to see like the different types of athletes, the different types of moves that they do, their mannerisms, how they interact with the crowd, just everything that you could possibly learn. It's available for you via the internet, so it's always a great opportunity to like watch and being able to learn something from somebody.
Well, Marlon, I wanted to one more time throw you the compliment out there because after the show, you were meeting with the fans, and I saw you over on the side. I had just talked to Action Braxton from down in Las Vegas way, and he just seemed to really enjoy being in front of the crowd. But I wanted to thank you for how kind you were to a big old fat old man who came over just to say hi. You were extreme. You were such a gentleman. And I got one more thing. how long you've been growing that beard. You have one of the best looking beards I've ever seen, man.
I've been growing this beard for a few months now. It's always a work in progress, just to try to get it just right. But thank you so much for that compliment. I really appreciate that.
Well, Marlon, I just got to thank you too. You know, you put on a great show in Salt Lake. You are the current Devotion Championship heavyweight champion, and that's really excited for DCW. And how cool it is to see another promotion in the West, and how good of a job they do for being brand new. You know, we've had Manny on the show, and I just think that's so cool to give, because, you know, when people think of wrestling, they think of, you know, the South and the West, or I mean the East Coast, and, you know, these towns like Memphis. And I mean, nobody would ever think Salt Lake City as a wrestling place.
Definitely. I definitely have to thank Manny and Big for that. Just the work that they put in there to not only be established, but to thrive. They have done an awesome job. The work that they put in with the training that they do, with the promotion that they do, it is unparalleled. So it's an awesome opportunity for me, but they are the men who have laid the groundwork, and I'm just been blessed to kind of walk in their shadow and get a chance to learn and also benefit from the hard work that they have put in. So I'm grateful to those guys.
Well, Marlon, speaking as a fan, and I am originally from Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been watching wrestling since when Jerry Lawler first started. That's how long I've been watching wrestling.
The King, right?
Yeah, the King. We recently had the superstar Bill Dundee. We've had Martin Casals on with us, Marty the Moth Martinez. And I just got to say, you have that little something as a fan. I want to tell you that I see a little something in you that I hope you continue with it, and I hope you can get the breaks and you can do with it as much as you want to do in this profession. I'm just real impressed with you, man.
Thank you so much, man. I greatly appreciate that. And also have to give a shout out to Marty, Martin Casals. He's a friend of mine. Being able to watch him, I have a cousin who lived in Las Vegas. And he also wrestled under the name Tyshawn Prince. And he got a chance, like my very first time in 2005, I want to say, it wasn't 2005, it was 2010. I got a chance to go to Utah to watch him wrestle. And Marty was there, but his hair was shorter. And he and another gentleman put on a show, and it was awesome. And just to get a chance to witness that, to just see him just still be performing at a very, very high level. He is a mentor and a teacher and a friend of mine. So shout out to Marty.
Yeah, shout out to Marty. He's a great guy. So, Zane?
Well, Marlon, thanks again for coming on, and thank you for being so awesome and patient with us, working through schedules and trying to get three people on the line at the same time can be difficult.
Right.
So I appreciate your patience, and thank you so much for coming on with us. And is there anything that that you want to leave us with, any social media or any things that you want people to look in, and how can they find Marlon the Man?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Marlon_RMP, and I'm on Twitter at Marlon G. Jackson. I got to change that email, but the enforcer, Marlon Bishop, that's Twitter, and Marlon at Marlon_RMP on Instagram.
Awesome.
My mom has actually been tuning in. She's been I have to show her how to download the Twitch app.
Awesome.
She's been tuning in. So, Mom, I love you. Thanks for watching. And
what a stud!
Oh yeah, that's cool, man. Hey, give a shout out to your grandfather, okay?
Absolutely, Sam Payton, who is in heaven right now. God bless you and thank you just for me and my dad. I love you to life still.
Well, Marlon, thank you so much for joining us on the program, and I can't wait to see you in Salt Lake City again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for just taking the time out. Thank you for extending the invitation to me. I'm very appreciative, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. What a stud. Thank you, man.
What a stud. Well, Marlon, thanks again, man, and I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait again to see you in Salt Lake, buddy.
Absolutely. I'll see you guys June 15th.
Okay, thank you, man.
Thanks, Marlon. Appreciate you. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay, thanks.
Coming up next, Juice, Chuck E. Cheese, and Zane O'Mac.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get tonight.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, it is Friday morning. I'm here at the radio station doing my job. And, of course, I'm doing a fantastic job at that, being very entertaining at what I do. But Ajay Salveson jumps in. Juice. You and I were just talking in between some of the songs, and I said, a little bit later, let's talk about this for the trash. We're talking about Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. I think the storylines are getting a little bit better. How about you?
They are. They are, but the crazy part is when you look on social media and the comments, people are still complaining. People are still not happy with something, whether it's a match, whether it's a push, whether it's an over, whether it's a certain wrestler getting, you know, being pushed as a heel or being made as a face. It's never ever gonna be to their satisfaction ever. As a whole universe in the WWE, it will never be a collective sigh of, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. We love this. This is the best product ever. It will never, ever, ever be like that. So what we have to do now as wrestling fans, you and I alike, is we have to watch it as a fan, but as an individual evaluation. Because you can't worry about what I think I'm going to like or hate. You can't worry about what, oh, I love it, and then go to social media, see the Twitter comments on WWE, and think, oh man, they hate it, so I hate it too. Because it ruins the product for you. If you love it the way it is, if you love John Cena being a heel, if you love Roman Reigns, if he would become a heel, if you love the way this match was made, if you love the way a push for a wrestler is becoming, then it's for you. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. But you can't let someone else's opinion persuade you one way or another, because then it ruins wrestling. And I think that's why so many fans from yesteryears, of the Attitude Era, of the Thousands Era, of the early Golden Age Era, watch it now, and that's why they're ruined by it, is because they listen to other people the way things used to be, and that is a huge problem.
Well, when I was a kid watching wrestling,
okay, you actually sound like Santa Claus.
Good.
Yeah, I agree with you, Juice. I do. I mean, I like some of the storylines going on right now. I questioned about what was going on with Braun Strowman when he was beat by Sami Zayn and not being in the Money in the Bank. Then I find out he's dealing with an injury, and they have other plans for him. I find out Alexa Bliss isn't going to be part of the Money in the Bank. And it's just one of those things. Things happen and they have to change every once in a while. The only thing I will say about what's going on in the WWE right now is a little inconsistent. But I love the Kofi Kingston storyline. I love what they're doing with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. But I think we as a group, because of social media, we like to complain, don't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole peer pressure thing that you'd always hear about in the 90s on commercials for, like, drugs, right, or alcohol or drinking, the peer pressure theme is actually kind of, I mean, it's really the title here. It's all peer pressure. It's, hey, I really like this, and then 1,000 people just run at you with 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't like it. Uh-huh. And that's what's sad. If you can just ignore the noise, enjoy what you're watching as you as an individual, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Hey, I got to get you down to DCW in Salt Lake City sometime this summer. How about that? You go with me?
You got to pay for my meal. You got to pay for the gas, and you're driving.
Well, Zane will.
I'm not teaming up with you and Zane in the same car. There's just too much risk. Health hazard and everything in between.
I don't have gas that bad.
It's not you. That's the problem.
It's Zane is the problem.
There we
but
go.
Really, love devotion.
No. It really is good. We'll get down there. Absolutely.
Who I ran into the last time I was down there? Marty the Moth Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the former Lucha Underground champion. He was down there just as a fan.
Guy, he looks like he could beat the crap out of you and I at the same time.
At the same time. Yeah. So we'll get you down to devotion, and I appreciate you jumping in. And,
no worries.
Anytime you want to talk about wrestling, you are more than welcome to come on Turbo.
Hey, appreciate it, Dave. Anytime, buddy.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Get ready to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Chris on the Mat is next.
It's Chris on the Mat.
I'm lost of words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris
on the Mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Turnbuckle Trash and the big talk of the day, of course, turned out to be mostly a very entertaining Money in the Bank. That happened. We will delay just a little bit before we get into the most boring man in professional wrestling, or as I call him, Mr. Boring in the Bank, Brock Lesnar. But right now, let's talk a little bit with somebody who is always unboring, and that is Christopher Evans. Chris on the Mat, how you doing, Chris?
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. I've taken the day off, and it's a wonderful day. But I tell you what, watching Money in the Bank would make anybody be sick to their stomach in about 3 or 4 seconds.
Oh, man, alive. By the way, before we get started, I want to wish you a very happy birthday. I know you're celebrating your birth today. And
yes.
Yeah.
43 years old, and I feel like I'm 65 when I wake up. But that's okay.
I hear that. Well. Okay. Yeah. Well, as I was watching Money in the Bank last night, I was thinking about you a little bit because the very first match they started off with was the women's Money in the Bank, and you called that one, my man. It was Bayley winning the Money in the Bank on the women's division, which was very entertaining.
I was shocked that Bayley got it. I figured it would be Nikki Cross. Uh-huh. I really did.
Yeah.
When Bayley got it, I just, my mouth flew open, and I just couldn't believe it. But I'm glad Nikki got it. Not Nikki, but Bayley yeah. got it. Bayley got it. Yeah, but it's fine. It's about time. They've been pushing her down too much. And I mean, I'm glad that Bayley got it. It's about time that they started pushing this girl. I mean, she is a talent.
Uh-huh.
She is a talent. But it was a back and forth match. I thought Nikki Cross did excellent.
Oh, she was great, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. When she took that ladder and hit everybody with it, I just cringed. But these girls, and nobody can say these girls are not athletes.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't watch that match, they put on a show even better than the guys did.
It was really, really well done. There was a lot of great storytelling in there with Carmella injuring her knee and then making her way back down towards the end of the match with her knee wrapped up, and she was going at it with Mandy Rose, and then Sonya Deville gets involved, and I just thought I was really, really pleased, and I was going, finally they're doing something right with the ladies again. So
yes.
I will take my hats off to creative for that, and then I will stomp on that hat later on. But
okay.
Let's move on really quick. There was also an incident that occurred in the U.S. Championship match when Rey Mysterio defeated Samoa Joe with a pinfall. I don't think the match went quite as long as they were expecting because he tried that. What was it? A senton where Rey jumps off the top rope. He does it a lot. Where he'll jump onto the guy's chest and go down. Mm-hmm. Something went wrong, and Samoa Joe's nose was on the other side of his face. He got a broken nose.
Yes,
bloody mess.
Samoa Samoa looked like John Cena did after Seth Rollins kicked him.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it was a botched match. We all saw it. And I think the referee kind of screwed up as well.
Uh-huh.
But it was a good match back and forth. But I was still expecting his son, Ray's son, to backstab his daddy.
Uh-huh.
When is it coming? It's got to be there sometime. From what I understand on the internet, and we can always believe it, is that Dominic is going to unmask Rey Mysterio in a match.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Rey's final match, and Dominic will strip Rey Mysterio of his mask like we've never seen it before.
Yeah.
But it was good with Samoa Joe, but I think the match could have been put on just a little bit better. But what can you expect from these two? I mean, Rey's about – he's almost at his end of his road.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the botched ending with the referee. But I thought that – and I'm going to give Corey Graves and Michael Cole their props because they sold it very well with Joe's shoulder obviously off the mat. But mm-hmm. was it one of those things that they needed to end the match right away? Because Samoa Joe did need some medical attention, but they still needed him to come back and beat on Rey's head. And yeah, I've been reading the same thing about Rey Mysterio being unmasked. And I don't think he's past his prime. Don't get me wrong, but
we've seen this before. We know what the guy looks like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, we don't. It's not a mystery. We know what you look like, man. So
he wrestled for about a year in WCW without a mask.
Yeah, he wrestled for about a year, and I mean, when he first took that mask off, he looked like a 6-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to see what he looks like now. Probably looks like a 70-year-old kid now. But he's all right. I mean, I'm hoping that I don't think his title reign for the U.S. title won't last long.
Yeah,
he's not. He's on his last leg.
Yeah. And, I got to meet Rey a couple of years ago in Salt Lake City when he was there. And I remember it was one of those little meet and greets. He signed a little poster for me. And I got to, maybe have two or three sentences with him. But it was the year that I had picked the match with Rey Mysterio and Chavo when they did the match that I thought was so well done on Lucha Underground. I picked that as my match of the year. And mm-hmm. I told Rey there, I thought that was one of the best matches of the year. And he said, just a couple of old guys showing the young guys how to really tell a story.
That's basically it.
It's great storytelling. I loved it. I'm really sorry Samoa Joe got that broken nose because I imagine that was pretty painful. He had blood just pouring out for a while. And then at the very end when the botched ending. But anyway, I really enjoyed the match itself. I think it was probably scheduled to go a little bit longer, but I even liked the botch because, now Joe has a reason to complain and ask for the rematch. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I'm sure he'll say that at Raw tonight when all that stuff goes down. He'll probably say, look, my shoulder was up and blah, blah, blah. Let's have a rematch for tonight. If they're allowing him to do it, which is very doubtful with his nose, who knows?
Yeah.
So, nose for nose.
Yeah, it depends on whether they could set it backstage or whether he has to have some sort of surgery, I guess. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to, I thought, an entertaining cage match. I didn't particularly, I wasn't real fond of the ending, but I understood why they did it. It was the what I call the... let's see. I sent you a message last night. Oh yeah, he is the one and only the human sweat gland, Shane McMahon. He's the best in the world at sweating. I'll tell you that. Taking on the Miz in their steel cage match, I was kind of surprised at how much I enjoyed the match because I really wasn't really looking forward to that one.
I wasn't either, and I mean it was a back and forth match. I mean the Miz got his shots in, Shane did his. But the way at the very end of it where Shane slips off the cage and lands and wins, I mean, that's how you win the cage match. Uh-huh. But I didn't like the ending of it, but I loved the Miz's interview afterwards. It was so well put. I loved it. I mean, he had fire in his eyes, but I was really expecting his father, to interfere in the match somehow, but he never showed up. He was too busy helping somebody else in an indie show, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, kind of weird.
I still like I like the way when we were talking about this before, before Money in the Bank, you said, wouldn't it be great if the Miz's dad showed up and then Vince showed up and they had a little confrontation? I thought that would be a great booking for that. But maybe it will still happen because they still have this storyline going on between the Awesome One and the Human Sweat Gland and Shane McMahon. So,
It's starting to become a boring storyline, though. I mean, it really is.
Well, it's got one more pay-per-view in it, I think. So.
Oh, it's got one more to it. And they should go, you know, Falls Count Anywhere, Iron Man match, something like that. Uh-huh. And first blood won't be first blood. They won't do that.
No.
But, yeah, I think it'll be easy. They got one more match in them, and then the trophy will have to be on the line eventually.
Yeah.
The trophy will have to be on the line.
I think it will be when they do TLC.
Yeah.
When they'll do a chairs match between two of them. So.
I'll agree with that one, yes.
And boy, did the guys from 205 Live, Tony Nese and Daivari, put on a very entertaining, fast-paced.
Oh, wow.
That was such a good match for the Cruiserweight champion. Tony Nese did win, so he retains. But, man, was it a fast-paced, fun match.
Yeah, it was. Back and forth, high-flying. These guys really put it all on the line. And the 205 doesn't get enough credit for what these guys do. I mean, they're the ones that excite everybody. They're the ones that get on these ropes and they put their lives on the line every time they do this, or they put their body on the line. Guys, this is who needs to be on Monday Night Raw. This is what needs to be. This don't need to be like a dark match like the tag team titles were. This needs to be front stage because these boys are good.
They are good.
And I like them. They are very good. And,
Tony Nese, man, that guy, he is so put together. You know, they say he has an 8-pack. And I was looking, not that I often look at a man's stomach, but he does. He has his stomach is as developed as well or better than Ravishing Rick Rude's. I'm really impressed. Lord. I was impressed by that match last night. And I don't watch 205 Live very much, but man, that was fun.
Yeah, well, 205 is just put like on the back burner. And it's like the stepchild of professional wrestling. So nobody really watches it, but I really don't blame them because it's really not, you know, it's okay. It's high flying. That's great. Mm-hmm. We like it, but it's like I said in my video, professional wrestling, you've got a competition and this is what you do. Come on. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
This is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at least they moved it up from the pre-show. It was originally scheduled for the pre-show, so there you go. And then they put a really good tag match, and they put that on. Don't get me started on the tag teams in the WWE. We're just going to leave it there. Now, we're going to move on to I thought was a wonderful segment. I loved the next, 20-30 minutes of the Money in the Bank. With the Raw's Women Championship. First up, Becky Two Belts taking on that Southern lady, Lacey Evans. Any relation, by the way?
I wish. I wish. But, yeah. No, not yet.
So
we're getting on the family tree to see if we can find it on down the line.
Well, let's just say that I thought Lacey Evans, when she came out, you know, she had on this beautiful outfit, and then she reaches in like she's pulling out guns, and they're prop guns that shoot out looking like $100 bills with Lacey Evans' face on them. I said, whoever came up with that, great idea. Loved it. And I thought the match itself was really interesting. I liked it. I know some people didn't like that particular match that much, but Becky did retain. And I wanted to go through that portion of it to ask you, what did you think about Lacey?
I think that she's a well-rounded wrestler. She's got the talent. She's got this little "I'm better than you" attitude of her. It's all well-rounded. I mean, she goes into the ring. She knows how to work the ring. She knows how to work the crowd. She's very good. I don't know where she came from, but I have no idea who she was trained by. But good grief, I give props to that person. Whoever trained this girl, is very good. And when she pulled out those guns, I thought, well, here we go. Somebody's going to get offended over this. Wonderful.
I just love it. Those weren't registered guns.
No, they're not registered. Neither are mine, but I don't say anything.
And then we moved on from that. And I was fully expecting them to do the match later in the evening, but no, here comes Charlotte Flair out, demanding that her match with Becky get started immediately, and it did. And I mean, give Becky credit. I mean, she put on two great matches against two great performers back to back.
Yes, she did.
I loved it.
I liked it, but when we all knew that Charlotte was probably going to win the match, and when Charlotte wins,
and with the help of Lacey Evans, by the way.
Yep, with the help of Lacey. And then Charlotte gets knocked unconscious, and then we all knew, well, I had a feeling this was going to happen. We all knew it. Here comes Bayley. And I loved it. I loved it. It was about time somebody cashed in as soon as they got the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Not 2 years later. But yes, it was good. The match was good. I give my props to Charlotte. She did a heck of a job. I give my props to Becky Lynch. The girl wrestled twice in less than a few minutes. Good Lord, that girl is good.
Yes, she is.
But, I had a feeling that she wouldn't walk out with one of the titles.
Yeah.
But you got to admit, Bayley deserves it.
Yeah.
Bayley does deserve it.
It was a nice swerve. I mean, yes. it was a nice swerve. I was wondering if it was going to be Bayley coming out and, you know, maybe becoming the heel. But no, she came in to help Becky when Lacey and Charlotte were attacking her. And then she moved out of the way and Charlotte hit her head on the ring post. And Bayley cashed in the Money in the Bank. And now she is the SmackDown Women's Champion. I loved every minute from the beginning of Lacey Evans' entrance all the way to the very end of the Raw Championship match and the swerve and the cash-in. That was the highlight of the entire night for me.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, puppy dogs of all ages, this is part two of Chris on the Mat, because yesterday when we were recording, there was a very important thing that happened to James Christopher Evans, because it was his birthday and he was getting ready to go celebrate his birthday. Chris, where did you go for your birthday celebration?
To take a 43-year-old man to Chuck E. Cheese. That was the highlight of my birthday, but thanks to my lovely, beautiful girlfriend, she has a little girl, and I mean, what can you do when you have a child? I mean, she has an attention span. So what the heck? Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't been there since I was seven. So what the heck? Let's just go.
Well, you know that Mick Foley actually last night on Monday Night Raw, the legendary Mick Foley talked about your very own birthday celebration at Chuck E. Cheese. Here's Mick Foley from last night.
Going down the slide at Chuck E. Cheese.
So did you slide down that slide at Chuck E. Cheese?
No, I didn't slide down the slide, but I did get on the hamster wheel and bump my head about six or seven times just to get a whole bunch of tickets for this little girl. So yeah, it was really interesting. I enjoyed it. It was the best birthday I've had, and I don't mind it as long as she was happy and that little girl got to go home with something. I was happy.
Going down the slide at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, and what's the little girl's name? We got to give her her name.
The little girl's name is Bella. Her name is Bella.
Yeah.
She's cute as a little button, and boy, I tell you what, as soon as she got those 2002 tickets, she made out like a bandit.
All right. So, that's the important thing. And you had fun with your girlfriend and her little girl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just glad she's not a Bella twin. That's all I'm glad. I'm just... just glad yeah. about that.
There we go.
Let's get into a little bit. We're going to go back into Money in the Bank a little bit, but I thought while we were talking about Monday Night Raw, we'd kind of go into this brand new title that was introduced last night by the legendary Mick Foley. And if you will just wait just a second, here we go. Mick Foley talking about the brand new title from Monday Night Raw last night.
We're back live on Monday Night Raw. The Hall of Famer is here with a groundbreaking announcement. He's about to unveil the newest championship in WWE.
Now, in my humble opinion, there's been something missing from Monday Night Raw. And I think it's time that we revisit those three vital letters, R-A-W. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we need to start getting Raw again. Let's make Monday night's championship title is something you breathe. It's something you dream about. It's something you love. It's something you will gladly sacrifice a few teeth and an ear, because that's how being a legend is born. And so it is, with that spirit in mind, may I present to you the newest title in the WWE family. May I have a drum roll, please? May I present to you the 24/7 title. Now, as the name may imply, this title is to be defended anytime, any place, anywhere. That you don't have days off when you hold this championship. You think you're putting on round 17? A fall can take place right there as long as a referee is present on the scene. Going down the slide of Chuck E. Cheese, because starting tonight, right now, right here in Albany, New York, we are going to crown our first 24/7 champion. Now, you may ask yourself, is this open to all of the superstars on the Raw roster? And the answer is no. It's open to every superstar on the Raw roster, the SmackDown roster, the 205 Live roster, the NXT roster, NXT UK, and who knows, maybe every now and then we'll have a visiting WWE legend competing for the prestige of the 24/7 championship.
Mick Foley's going to call for the bell, which means that's an EC3.
Look, these guys are going to blow out their knees before they even get in the ring.
Mojo Rawley, Cedric Alexander's out there as well. A match.
Eric Young, good brothers.
To become the first ever 24/7 champion. All these superstars scrambling to become the inaugural 24/7
champion. The title's just sitting in the middle of the ring.
No one's even made it in the ring yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody better get to their feet quick.
Are we kidding right now? Nobody can get to the title?
Cole, get your singlet. Let's go.
Yes, Drake Maverick.
He's the general manager of 205 Live.
Titus just picked the title up.
He got it.
Drake Maverick, well, I don't think he had it fully. And Titus O'Neil sends Drake flying. And Titus O'Neil! Titus O'Neil, the first ever 24/7 champion!
Here's your new 24/7 champion, Titus O'Neil!
Titus O'Neil is back in business!
Titus O'Neil is back in
business! Oh, wait, already!
Who the hell?
Robert Roode!
Oh!
Robert Roode!
Yes!
Robert Roode is champion!
Here's your winner and the new 24/7 champion, the glorious
Robert The champion, where's the title?
So the day after your birthday, we have a new title in the WWE. The first champion, Titus O'Neil, my man. And then to kind of sell it a little bit, Robert Roode pins him. So now he is the title holder. What do you think of the 24/7 title?
the greatest 7-Eleven title that was ever made that was open 24/7. And now you have R-Truth that calls it the European Championship. Okay, I don't know where you get that from, but doesn't it look like an old IBC boxing championship? I mean, this belt is god awful looking.
Yeah, it's not the best looking.
No, it's not. It's not the best looking. And even Mick Foley, when he was doing his little intro on it, even he couldn't sell himself into it.
Well, the crowd was not into it, I'll tell you that.
The crowd didn't like it. The crowd wasn't going, oh my gosh, a new title, there's going to be something different. Even Jim Ross said it. He goes, 24 titles in all my years of professional wrestling, this one right here ain't worth wiping your tush with. So, I mean, everyone's making fun of it. Who in the world came up with this belt? I know it's got to be Vince, but 24/7 title. Okay, it's not the hardcore title.
It is similar.
Yeah, it's similar.
Similar, but they can't do the hardcore. I mean, I would have loved them to do it, but they can't.
No, they can't do the hardcore title. They can't do anything. I mean, so basically it's a belt that's going to be defended on TV all the time now. And yeah. We won't even be able to keep up with whoever has the belt. It's almost like the U.S. title. Who's got it? We won't know who's got this one.
There's been similar promotions that have done this. Joey Ryan was a champion like this for a while. You know, it's been done before, but then again, it's how you present it. And the presentation, I think, was a little bit lacking. Here's what I would have done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would have had a tournament right then and there, or a battle royal to say, okay, the winner, it will be our brand new champion, okay?
Yeah.
And have the battle royal, and then announce what the championship belt was all about, have the battle royal contestants come back in, at least some of them, and battle again for it, and maybe had the same guy win again, like Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all of a sudden, here comes Robert Roode, maybe, you know, for the third time. I just think it could have been explained better and maybe had people more excited, because the crowd wasn't into it. I mean, honestly, in Albany, New York, they were pretty quiet.
I would rather see a women's intercontinental championship more than a 24/7 title. This title is not going to mean anything to any of the fans. It's just going to be something that's there. It's another title. I mean, if you get on Facebook or you get on Twitter and everything, people are dogging the belt, or they think it's something that a kid could buy in a KB or a Toys R Us store. Or,
hey, I got a belt at a Toys R Us store. Come on.
Well, yeah, but your belt looks better than that one.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, this one, it just says 24/7. That's it. Nothing else. It looks like a belt that someone put together at a sports store and say, here, I'm the champion now. Why do this? But WWE can do whatever they want to do if that's how they want to lose the ratings, so be it.
Well, I'm gonna disagree with you here, okay?
Okay.
And we can you know what? You and I can disagree and still be friends, can't we?
Of course.
Of course, we can do that. But even on social media, if I did this to you, we would still be friends, because we understand that people can disagree. And that's good.
That's what makes this country great. We can disagree.
And
then some people can take it and some people can't.
Yeah, So I'm just going to disagree with you, because I'm going to sit back and watch and see what they do with it. I kind of like the concept. Now it's up to the WWE to run with it, to make it mean something. They're going to have to get someone who can hold on to that belt for a long time. That's what's going to have to happen. Now, whether it's going to be Lars Sullivan or maybe Braun Strowman holding on to that belt, if they can get, after a couple of changes, if they can make it so that they have someone that can control that belt for a while, then it might mean something.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, if it's like Lars, it'd be a good idea to have him hold the title. Braun, I don't think so. I don't think it'd be good for him. His title reigns, which he only's had one, basically is done. But, I could see Lars Sullivan holding the 24/7 as long as he can keep his composure. I just don't see it. I mean, 24/7 title, of all the things to put back into the WWE, this. I'll agree with you in that somebody needs to hold it for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.